Welcome to In His Footsteps with award-winning author Margaret Agard, sharing practical tips for living a joy-filled life and amazing interviews with people who do. Now here's Margaret.
Have you ever wondered what kind of faith it takes to just take off without money or extra clothes just to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ the way the ancient apostles did? Today you're going to meet Joan Dunn, who's been doing that for the last 35 years. A delightful woman.
Now here's this week's Bible question and answer, brought to you by the Amazing Bible Timeline. Quickly see 6,000 years of Bible and world history together on one color-coded wall poster. Find out more about the Amazing Bible Timeline or ask your own Bible question at AmazingBibleTimeline.com.
The Bible question this week is, how long was Joseph of the coat of many colors, who was sold into slavery in Egypt by his brothers, in Potiphar's house, and how long was he in prison? The Bible tells us enough to give us some clues, but it doesn't tell us everything. We know that Joseph was 30 when he was made overseer to the king of Egypt, or Pharaoh, and that he was 17 when he was sold into Egypt. So we know he spent 13 years either in Potiphar's house or in prison. And we know he was in prison at least 2 years, because it was 2 years after he interpreted the dream of the king's cook before he was brought before the king to interpret his dream. So we know he was in prison at least 2 years, and that he was in Potiphar's house and prison total for 13. Today, you're going to meet Joan Dunn. I was just intrigued by someone who would give up everything and just start out wearing basically a white robe and travel without purse or scrip to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like, what was the point? How does it work? And she's been doing it for 35 years. My first question was, how did you even get started doing this?
Well, in my life, I was born loving God. As a teenager, I was real rebellious. I got into drugs and alcohol at a very early age. You know, it was the hippie days and free love and smoke pot and do speed. And I was an alcoholic by the time I was 17. Mm. I was doing drugs every day. We had moved up to Portland, Oregon, and I got into climbing the ladder in the social world. I was a high fashion model, and I watched myself selling my soul to get more well known and more popular and more
yes.
designer drugs and all those things, until I finally was so, from my point of view, I was so ugly on the inside, I humbled myself and called out on God to please help me and save me. You know, on the outside, it looked like I was reaching the pinnacle of success, and on the inside, I was dead. I was miserable.
A lot of people don't recognize when that happens to them.
Whew. I was so brokenhearted, and I was so broken. And then, you know, I started reaping my karma. What goes around comes around. What you sow, you reap. And I started catching the, like you could say, the punishment for my actions.
Yeah.
And it humbled me. It really humbled me. So I called out to God with all my heart. And he started bringing me back home. Like, from the time I was 19 till I was 21, I started studying the Bible intensely, going to every kind of church, checking them all out. I would sneak up into the balcony, and I would sit there with the Lord and say, how do you feel about this? What do you think about what they're doing? Hmm. Talking in tongues. I would sit there. I would hide in the balcony with him, and I would say, what do you think about this? How are we supposed to act towards you? What do you want us to do?
Isn't that interesting? Our church was set up once that people had to come in. It's a small church. They had to come in past the pastor's where he stands to speak.
Yeah.
I said, we have to move this around because there's some people who are going to want to slip in late in the back and slip out early. So you have to set it up so those people can come. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. But go ahead. Sorry.
Well, then I started praying with all my heart, please, Lord, I want to give my whole life to you. How can I do that? And after praying that for about a year, one day I heard him loud and clear say, if you really mean that, open the Bible and do exactly what it says. checked myself, make sure I really meant it, and I was willing. And I opened the Bible, and it came up to Matthew 10. And it said, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, go to the highways and byways, and witness to the gospel. Take no shoes, no change of clothes, no purse worthy of a thief, but just go in faith.
Yes.
My first response was, oh my God, you want me, a woman, alone, to walk out my front door in my bare feet? And I heard loud and clear, yep.
Huh.
I gave 2 weeks' notice on my job. I started giving everything away. It was the last day of work, and it was an hour before I got off work, and a man I had never seen before, an elderly gentleman, he came in, and he said to me, I have a message for you from God. And now I'm shaken.
Yes.
And I go, what is it? He said, wait until you have further instructions.
Ah.
So I went home, and I sat in this rocking chair, and I'm like, wow, God, what's going on? I sat there fasting for all of Friday night, all day Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and then Sunday, the third day, right, about 11 in the morning, he said to me, clear as a bell, go down to the park. There's somebody I want you to meet. So I walk down to the park, and I see these three men in white robes and bare feet sitting on sleeping bags, and they're in the middle of the park, and it looks like nobody else can even see them. And I think to myself, oh, he sent angels down from heaven to tell me further instructions.
Yeah.
Well, the second thought, of course, the mind came in and went the other way. Oh, they're from a cult, and
yes.
they're going to take me out in the bushes and kill me. So with that little battle going on inside of me, I walked up to him. I thought I'd test the spirits, and I walked up, and I said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And all three of them burst out laughing. And I thought, oh, no, I've asked angels if they believe in Jesus. But we went on from there, and they explained to me that they live like the disciples of Jesus Christ, and that basically all their stories were a little bit different, but they all got called the same way. And I ended up taking them home with me. We sewed up a white robe, and the next morning we hit the road in my bare feet.
Well, there you go. So that's how it started.
Yeah, traveling that way ever since.
Oh, so there's actually a group of you. And what are the rules you follow? Do you have any rules?
No killing, no sex, and no materialism. Now, no killing means to us, you know, do no hurt or harm to any living thing. And that's why we're vegetarian. It's
yes.
not about what goes in your mouth that defiles you. It's about what comes from your heart. Now, in the beginning, we know we were all vegetarian. And in the New Kingdom, we will be vegetarian. The lion will lay down with the lamb. Everybody knows that mission.
Right.
No sex. We live as brother and sister. Equal spiritual love. So
now, here's the question. Is it that kind of like the Shakers? And then how do you get a second generation? So is that no sex outside of marriage or just no sex?
Well, it's more like leaving the flesh, resurrecting into the spirit.
Okay.
If I may, though, I'll go on to the next key.
Yes, go ahead.
Which is no materialism.
Yes.
And what that really means is, of course, you never put anything above God or your brother. If you have a peanut butter sandwich and you see somebody hungry, you sit down and you share it with them.
Okay.
Right.
So what is it? Tell me what a typical day for you is like. Okay.
Oh, it's the greatest adventure you could ever imagine. At first, now for years and years and years, I walked barefoot all over the country, north in the summer, south in the winter, east, west, round and round, never knew, didn't care. We didn't hitchhike. We didn't stick out our thumb, but we would sit by, like, okay, we're going east now, or we're going north now because it's getting hot. We would sit, and we would accept rides, and we would go wherever they would want to go. They said, where are you going? We don't know. We work for God. We'll go wherever you feel like dropping us off. And sometimes you go all the way across country and turn right around and go all the way back. It just doesn't matter because you're just out there to serve.
How does this serve God? Okay. If you're just joining us, this is Margaret Agard with In His Footsteps, and today you're meeting Joan Dunn, a real-life missionary who's been traveling without purse or script across the United States for 35 years to serve God. And I just asked Joan, how does this serve God?
Well, what I find in my life, maybe I could say it serves me. It taught me who God really is. So in my relationship with the Lord, talk about going to Bible study. Talk about going to, you know, super college. Every day, all day, I talk about God. And because I'm dressed funny and people are staring at me and they're curious beyond, you know, they come up all day long and say, why are you dressed that way? And there's my opportunity.
Don't you love people?
I do.
Yeah.
I really do. I love my family. You know, like we say, as a group, as a body, we say all those that love and honor Jesus Christ are Christ's family.
Yes.
You know, and it's just different maturity, different understandings, different. But if you love him, he's going to get you home. If you ever once, this is the way I believe, if you ever once prayed to the Lord, please, Lord, save me, he does. No matter what, he's going to do it. He's going to answer that prayer. If he has to bump you a little bit here, he chastises those he loves. Praise God for the chastisement. I want to be close to the Lord. So, first off, how does it serve God? Well, it saved my life. It taught me the nature of God. Now, do I do anything for others? Do I actually serve God? It's almost a joke. It's like a little kid helping daddy fix the car. You know, I've probably got dirt all over me. I'm making a bigger mess than I'm really helping. But he loves me, and he lets me feel like I'm a part of it.
I had a friend who said that because we were talking about, you know, he could do all the stuff he asked us to do, he could do.
That's it.
Like take that meal to this woman or whatever. He could just appeal. And she said, sometimes I think maybe for God it's like our kids' refrigerator art. You know, he likes to look it up and say, look what she did. Wasn't that great?
That's it. He loves us. You know, it's like, the fullness of God is always here, but it's how much you pay attention to it is how much you're really going to feel it, how much you're going to recognize it. If you're in this world and you want money, you'll get money. What you sow, you reap. If you want God, then you give your life to him and you pay attention to him and you follow what he tells you, then you get God. And that's the beauty of.
Yeah, you know, you said that about money, and I really do think it's your attitude towards money and what you do with it. And so, because I was in a class with a man who said, you know, he was in real estate, and he said, it was like, I couldn't do it. And he said, I worried and churched, and I worried and churched. And finally, he felt the Spirit say to him in church one day, are you asking me if you have my permission to get rich? And he was like, yeah, I guess I am. God said, yes, as long as you use it for good. So he stopped worrying about it. Just, you know, went out and you know, I mean, he doesn't, his focus is not about getting rich, but just because of what he does, he is able to make a lot of money and then he shares it. So,
well, here's, you know, like here we are back to the first key, right? On the outside, no killing. No killing would mean you don't go to war. You don't, you trust God absolutely to protect you. You're vegetarian. You give life and freedom to every living thing. Okay, that's the outside. But then you start in your mind and in your heart. And what Jesus said was, you don't even think an angry thought against your brother or you've committed murder. So now you start getting inside like that. You become so sensitive to others that you can't do any hurt or harm on any level. Right? So then no matter what you're doing, you're loving and helping and giving, right? Of course, God's going to bless you with abundance.
Yes.
And especially if you're turning that around and using it for good. Like, oh, sister, I watched so many miracles happen of God giving me gifts that I can use to help others with. Like, if the people...
Like, it's not, it doesn't stick to your hands. That's how I feel about it. You're the conduit. It's not much sticks.
You know, that's a just, great way to say it.
Yeah.
And... you know, from walking around carrying everything for years of what I want, I learned I only want what I need, and I need very little, and it's always there when I do need it. So,
yes, yeah. Pick yesterday. What happened?
Oh, yesterday was a beautiful day. Gosh, you know, what I was saying, what I was starting with, for years I walked in my white robe, bare feet, sleeping bag, one change of clothes rolled up in my sleeping bag, and a tote sack with hairbrush, toothbrush, can opener, spoon, bowl, water jug, just the bare essentials, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I walked that way for so long that I kind of wore out my body, and now I'm 50, I'm going to be 55, and I kind of told the Lord, it's like, wow, this is getting hard to do. It's getting hard for me to sleep on concrete.
Yeah.
And he had someone donate a car. It's a white SUV Suzuki Vitara,
uh-huh.
and we can sleep in the back. We have this little puzzle, and it goes blip, 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 and within 2 or 3 minutes, we got the seats down and a little foam pad, and we can sleep in the back.
And you're referring to, you go with one other sister? Is that what you do? Or
Normally, twos or threes. If there's, depending, it's easiest. You get more done when you spread out.
Right.
So if there's three, then you kind of wait till somebody else comes along, and then you hook up and go back out in twos.
Yeah.
It's not like there's a set thing.
Uh-huh.
It's just you find this is the best, this is the easiest,
yeah.
most comfortable. There's times when a choir, like the sisters, we sing a lot. Walking down the road, we've made up a lot of songs. And so we teach them to each other as we travel with each other. Because we live no sex, we can travel freely with any of the brothers and sisters.
Right. Do you want to sing a song?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to right now?
Whenever.
Here's one of my favorites.
Okay.
The Lord helps us to live by the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, forgiveness. Amen.
Now, see, that's great. And that's really what we're after, because, you know, when Paul says, you know, charity is what you have to have, and then later he says the fruits of the Spirit, and when you look at the two lists, what charity is and what the fruits of the Spirit are, they're the same thing. So to walk through life with charity, with the love of God in your heart, to me says you've got to have that Spirit. And you notice when it's gone, when your emotions are, as you said, when you notice violence in your thoughts. That anger, mm-hmm. that frustration. So, but it must not have been easy to start out that way. 30 years, I guess you kind of grow into it. But
oh, when I first hit the road, I was scared. Oh, I'm telling you, I want to run home to mommy so bad.
Uh-huh.
This was back in the days. Jimmy Carter was president, and then Ronald Reagan came in. And Ronald Reagan, the attitude of the country at the time, because people backed him, was peace through strength, right?
Yeah.
So for us to walk around and say, no killing. Jesus Christ is saying no killing. Christians, true Christians, don't kill.
Right.
We get kicked out of churches all the time. I got kicked out of rides. You mean to tell me you won't defend America? No, brother, I'm commanded by God. And, you know, stop the car, out you go.
Yeah.
It was a whole different world back then. Say vegetarian, if you said, oh, well, we're vegetarian for peace on earth, it's like they couldn't think of anything besides a head of lettuce and a carrot.
Yeah.
That was the
yeah.
So things have changed a whole lot. You know, and what I see happening is that God himself is establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth, the 1,000-year reign of peace on earth.
We have to be ready to receive him. You know, he's not going to come back and force us to live this way.
Amen.
We have
Amen.
To be living this way so that he can come back.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, sister. That's how I feel anyway. And you know, here's the other thing is, we're only seeing a little part of his plan.
Right.
We understand what he gives us to see and understand, and it's really, if you knew the end of the movie, why watch the movie? But we do know it's a surprise happy ending.
Yeah.
You know, that's the beautiful part. We know it's going to turn out really great.
So I have questions all over the map. So here's two. We started on your day, and then I got off when you started talking about singing. And so about how many people are part of Christ's family, number one. And number two, really, what does a day look like? And just so it's easiest if you just pick a day and say it's like this. And three, see, I have three questions. Have you ever ended up being thrown into jail for vagrancy or, you know, run into those kind of problems? And hang on just a second. I'll be answering those questions after this request.
If you like this show and want to help us keep it on the air, please send your donation, any amount will help, to Margaret Parker, LC, in His Footsteps Radio, Post Office Box 173, Duck, West Virginia, 25063. Or go online to donate using debit or credit cards or PayPal, www.inhisfootsteps.com. Thank you for your help keeping us on the air. Now here's Margaret.
Again, if you're just joining us on In His Footsteps, this is Margaret Agard, and today you're meeting the delightful Joan Dunn, who travels without purse or script, has been for 35 years as a Christian missionary, and I asked her, what is a normal day like?
A normal day, I'll start with that. The reason I was explaining about being in a vehicle right now, because it's a little bit different than your normal day on the road, but basically, we get up and kind of look for our cup of coffee. First thing, you know, like, okay, Lord, let's get going. Well, we go ask in the name of Jesus Christ, could you please give us a cup of coffee? We're Christian missionaries. We explain who we are and what we're doing. And almost everybody says, of course, I'd be happy to. Because
how do you pick someone to go up to?
Everything comes down to following what you feel in your heart.
That
trusting
prompting.
God's Holy Spirit within you. He trusts
yeah.
it. It's like Mr. Magoo stumbling around, you know, and everything turns out good.
Yes.
I learned a long time ago, you can't go wrong. You can't miss a connection because God will just bump you this way or bump you that way. When I say a normal day, there's no really such thing. Everything is, whatever comes at you is great. Yesterday, we started out, I believe, I'm going to have Hannah help me to see if I can remember. We started out at McDonald's. That's kind of normal because we're in the car now. And so we go to McDonald's and we, I'll get a senior cup of tea because I'm not drinking too much coffee anymore. And Hannah drinks herbal tea. So we get a cup of tea and we go to McDonald's. And while we're drinking our tea, because I have a car, I have a computer. And I've actually been taking people on Facebook on our journey with us, which is a new thing for me. I've never done this before, so I'm just learning. But the last 6 months or so, I have been. And
So I have to like you on Facebook.
Oh,
I might have already done it. Yes, okay.
It's under Joan Dunn, D-U-N-N, Ministries, or Joan Dunn. You should be able to see my picture in white.
Yeah.
But one will take turns on the computer, and the other will be making connections. And people, it's like everywhere we go, people ask us, why do you dress that way? It's a great fishing lure. It really is.
Well, why don't you talk about how you dress?
We wear, in general, white robes. The sisters wear a white robe with an apron. It makes an extra layer, and it's a little more modest. We make them out of sheets. A lot of sisters like cotton. You make it fit comfortable.
Yep.
And then we have one to wear and one to wash.
Okay.
Most comfortable clothes you could possibly wear. It's like walking around in pajamas all day long.
Yeah.
And it makes us, of course, it's a fishing lure. It makes us stand out a little bit. But also, it's a sign. The book of Revelation talks about who are these people in white robes. It's also a surrender flag.
Well, it sounds like you're walking all over the place, so how do you know who's in the group?
Well, you know the tree by the fruit it bears. I mean, it's pretty obvious when someone is saying one thing and doing another.
Yeah. I mean, if someone says, you know what, I'm going to go become part of the Christ family, they would just put on a sheet and walk out, or they have to go somewhere and make a commitment? What is it?
No. It's all between you and God, and that's why you see such funny things on the Internet. Because for a long, long time, I mean, for all the years up until really recently, nobody that's out there walking and living the life of Jesus Christ was on the Internet. We didn't even bother. It was just like, oh, well, they talk that way about Jesus. Just let it be. He put it in my heart a couple years ago to actually, like, okay, well, I'll take the time and put something good on the Internet. So yeah. I'm just getting into that now is like, wait a minute, there's another side to this story. You know, like for me, gosh, my life has been a dream come true. And most of the people that I know feel that way, that the keys to heaven are the keys to heaven, that living this lifestyle, do no hurt or harm, love everyone equal, share all things in common, that lifestyle brings you closer to God on a miraculous scale because you're yes. living a holy life. So then most of the people that live the life of Jesus Christ don't get on the internet, could care less.
True. Unless they're spreading a message in some way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
where the Lord caught me. I happen to be one of the few people that have lived this way for a long time that actually knows how to use a computer.
And often when you help people, is it simply by sharing a message with them? By listening to them?
Yeah, absolutely. It comes in all forms. You know, because I'm in a car now, I don't have to carry extra gear. I have a set of dirty clothes, like regular normal clothes, and that way I can get dirty and help people physically. My brothers are very talented, and they're always helping people, mechanics, carpentry. They know a lot because they've lived a lot. Always
yes.
lend a hand where you can. I have a car. I pick up people. I help people. We always carry a bag of food. We always stop to make sure you got food, you got water. Some cases I give them a ride, some I don't. It depends on what God tells me in the moment.
Yes.
If I see people walking with a gas can, in a way, saying, good morning, God bless you, that's the biggest help we do. It changes in a moment. It's amazing how you can walk and create a stream of love, create a stream of light in this world. It's amazing by being loving, by having the love of God and letting it flow through you. It changes the world.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I've seen that, actually. You do see that. There's certain people that just seem to be able to come in a situation and it becomes a much more happy, peaceful situation. It just has to do with that love that's emanating from them.
Amen. Now, here we are. We're walking around the sheets. And when we're on a walk, we pick up garbage. I mean, I know people watch us all day long picking up garbage. Can't help it. It's this part. This is my father's house, you know. Of course I'm going to keep it clean. We go to churches, Bible studies. We give our witness. We talk about, you know what's really amazing is that when you are willing to give your body over to God, just give it to Him. Let Him. You drop your jaw and let Him come through you. You don't plan anything. You don't have any ulterior motives. And then, because that's your prayer, dear Lord, please use me today, you know, He does come through you, and He knows the person that is before you. And He knows exactly what to say to them. It is amazing how many people say, wow, you know, thank you. How did you know that? I didn't know. There's no way. How could I have known? It's the magic of His Holy Spirit. He knows the person before you. He knows what they need.
What they need to hear. And, you know, you don't have to go out without purse or script to have those experiences in your own life. You can just say to God, I'm giving today to you, God, and look around. When someone needs help, offer it and pay attention to that little voice saying, go up to that person, say this, call that person, do this. You know, Joan, you've been a great example. Thanks for sharing with us. All right.
All right, dear.
Thank you, Joan.
Thank you. God bless you.
You can find out more about how to have the joy that comes from living each day for God while still keeping up with daily life in the book In His Footsteps, How to Be Happy in Every Situation, available at the website inhisfootsteps.com or online at amazon.com.
You can get more information on our guests and our discussion today, including replays of this show, at inhisfootsteps.com. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Margaret Agard. You can reach me at P.O. Box 173, Duck, West Virginia 25063, or through my website, inhisfootsteps.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Be sure to join us next week for more practical tips on living a God-directed life and amazing interviews with people who do.